STR podcasts are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
Last month, Christians around the world celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This unique historical event is foundational to Christianity. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." It's 1 Corinthians 15:17-19. Christians are not the only ones who believe in the resurrection. Jehovah's Witnesses also claim that Jesus rose from the dead. However, Christians and Jehovah's Witnesses understand the resurrection of Jesus from the dead very differently. It is often the case when dealing with contemporary cults that they will use the same language as Christians, but they mean very different things. One way to expose this confusion is to ask questions. One of the most important questions in your arsenal is the clarifying question, "What do you mean by that?" Applying this question to the resurrection, we need to ask, "What do you mean by Jesus rose from the dead?" Or what do you mean by resurrection? What you will find is that the Jehovah's Witness take the resurrection of Jesus to be non-physical. Jesus' physical body did not rise. He only rose as a spirit being. Conversely, Christians hold that Jesus rose physically from the dead. The same body that died on the cross is the same body that rose 3 days later, leaving an empty tomb. Let's be clear. Christians and Jehovah's Witnesses can't both be right. Jesus either physically rose from the dead or he didn't. To settle this issue, we need to go straight to the text of Scripture. Specifically, let's examine two passages that explicitly affirm the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus. John records a heated exchange between some of the Jewish leaders and Jesus. "So the Jews said to him, 'What sign do you show us for doing these things?' And Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' The Jews then said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?' But he was speaking about the temple of his body." That's John 2:18-21. Now, listen to these words very carefully. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." What were the Jews going to destroy? The answer is his body. Well, what was Jesus going to raise up after 3 days? The answer is, again, his body. This is a clear admission from Jesus that his physical body would be raised. Furthermore, Jesus referring to his body as the temple is consistent with Paul's writing. Paul says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." See, again, the temple of the Holy Spirit is your body. Luke provides an even stronger testimony to the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus. Ironically, this comes from the resurrected Jesus himself. It says this, "And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands, see my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' And when he had said these things, he showed them his hands and his feet." This is Luke 24:38-40. Here Jesus is explicitly pointing out that his resurrected body is not merely an immaterial spirit. First, he tells them, "It is I myself." He is belaboring the point that it is Jesus standing before them. It's not a spiritual version of Jesus. It is the same Jesus that walked and talked and ate with them throughout his ministry. Second, he tells them his resurrected body is made of flesh and bones, not just made to look like he has flesh and bones. Jesus then provides two physical evidences for his disciples. The first evidence is that he presents his hands and his feet to be properly examined. He tells them to touch and see. Is there a reason why Jesus shows them his hands and his feet? The answer is yes. Jesus is showing his disciples the very scars his resurrected body retained from the crucifixion. In fact, when you read the parallel account in John's gospel, Jesus shows them his hands and his side. That's John 20:20. As proof of his bodily resurrection, Jesus shows his disciples the place his physical body was pierced with a spear. The second evidence is in the following two verses. Luke says, "And while they disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them." That's Luke 24:41 to 43. Did you catch that, though? Jesus demonstrates that his body is made of flesh and bones by eating a flesh and bones fish right in front of them. This seemingly trivial detail about Jesus eating lunch is incredibly significant to the question of the nature of Jesus' resurrected body. It is not a coincidence that Luke includes this detail within the context of this story. Now, your witness friend might reply that angels are also able to eat by manifesting themselves in physical form. That happened in Genesis 18. This is true, but it misses the point. Jesus explicitly tells them that he is not merely a spirit, and he provides evidence of this by getting them to touch his body and by eating right in front of them. What more could he do to display that this is the same physical body that left the empty tomb? Jehovah's Witnesses like to point to a few verses to support their claim. Their go-to proof text for a non-physical resurrection is 1 Corinthians 15:42 to 44. Here, Paul is contrasting the earthly body with the resurrected body. The earthly body is perishable, dishonorable, it's weak, and it's natural. The resurrected body, on the other hand, is imperishable, it's glorious, powerful, and spiritual. Listen to Paul. He says, "So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body." Now, your Jehovah's Witness friend will say, "See, Paul describes our present earthly bodies as natural and our future resurrected bodies as spiritual." However, they wrongly assume that natural and spiritual mean physical and non-physical, respectively. The question is, what does Paul mean by the terms natural and spiritual? Paul uses the exact same words earlier in this first letter to the Corinthians. He writes the natural, and the word natural in Greek there is psychikos. So the natural psychikos person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person, and the Greek word for spiritual is pneumatikos, that person is judges all things, but is himself judged by no one. Now, notice that the natural person does not mean physical person. but rather than the person oriented towards the human nature or human soul. In fact, psychikos, which is translated natural, literally means soulish. Similarly, spiritual person does not mean non-physical spirit person. Rather, it's a person oriented towards the spirit. See, Paul is contrasting the soul-led persons, the natural persons, with the spirit-led persons, the spiritual person. The contrast is not one of physicality, but it's one of orientation. Therefore, Paul is explaining that the future resurrected body will be freed from slavery to this weak, mortal, dishonorable, sinful human nature. And the resurrected body will be led, sustained, empowered, and made glorious by the Spirit. As Christians, we believe in a future bodily, physical, spiritual resurrection, because this is what the New Testament teaches.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.